Call the meeting to order. This regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council is called to order at 6 p.m. Tuesday, October 25th. I'll ask Councilman Robinson to read the mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. May I have a roll call, please?
Certainly, sir. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Looby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
And Mr. Tudyakov?
Here. This time, please join us, Councilman Tom Bell. We'll do a Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Welcome to the visitors this evening in the gallery and those out on the radio, TV. At this time, we'll go to item 5, oath of office. The city clerk will now administer the oath of office for mayor and council members Nicholson and Looby.
All right, so as we discussed, I'm just going to have you each read your oath, but if you could turn and face me and raise your right hand, and we'll start out with the mayor. Go right ahead, sir.
I, Vincent M. Tudyakov, Sr., do solemnly swear that I will honestly and faithfully and impartially perform the duties of the mayor of the city of Unalaska in true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America, the laws of the state of Alaska, and the code of ordinances for the city of Unalaska. I take this oath freely without least equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Next, we'll do Mr. Nicholson. Go right ahead.
I, Darren Nicholson, do solemnly swear that I will honestly and faithfully and impartially perform the duties as a member of the City Council of the City of Unalaska in true accordance with the Constitution of the United States of America, the law of the, in law of the state of Unalaska, or City of Alaska, the Code of Ordinance of the City of Unalaska. I take this oath freely without the least equivocation, mental reservation, and self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
Thank you very much, sir. And finally, Deneen Looby. You go ahead and face me and raise your hand.
I, Deneen Looby, do solemnly swear that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of a member of the City Council of the City of Unalaska in true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America, the laws of the State of Alaska, and the Code of Ordinances of the City of Unalaska. I take this oath freely without the least equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to congratulate the council members on returning to their seats this year.
Congratulations, Vince.
Yep, and thanks, Dennis. It was a tough race. Thank you. Move to item number 6, the appointment of the vice mayor. Next, we'll appoint the vice mayor from among the council members to serve a one-year term. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to appoint Dennis Robinson as the vice mayor.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Looby, seconded by Councilman Bell to nominate Councilman Robinson to fill the seat of the vice mayor. Any further nominations? Hearing none, I declare Councilman Robinson Vice Mayor for City of Unalaska.
Thank you.
We should probably vote on that motion, Mayor.
Okay. We will.
We should.
Nobody objects.
We just want to do it properly. Mr. Nicholson?
Oh. Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman? She held up her yes sign. Mr. Tungel?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
And Mr. Bell?
Yes.
On a vote of 6-0, the motion passes, and declare you Vice Mayor again. Thank you. All right, we're on item number 7. Is that next? Proclamation. Next is the Mayor's proclamation declaring November 1st, 2022 as Extra Mile Day in Unalaska. I'll read the proclamation into the record. Declaring November 1st, 2022 Extra Mile Day in Unalaska, whereas Alaska is a community which acknowledges that a special vibrancy exists within the entire community when its individual citizens collectively go the extra mile in a personal effort, volunteerism, and service. And whereas Alaska is a community which encourages citizens to maximize their personal contributions to the community by giving themselves wholeheartedly and with total effort, commitment, and conviction to their individual ambitions, family, friends, and community. And whereas Alaska is a community which chooses to shine a light on celebrated individuals organized within its community who go the extra mile in order to make a difference and lift up fellow community members. And whereas Alaska acknowledges the mission of the extra mile in America to create more than 550 extra mile cities in America, and is proud to support Extra Mile Day on November 1st, 2022. Now, therefore, be it resolved, as the Mayor of Unalaska, I do hereby proclaim November 1st, 2022 to be the Extra Mile Day. I urge each individual in the community to take time on this day to not only go the extra mile on his or her own life, but to also acknowledge all those who are inspirational in their efforts and commitment to make their organizations, family, community, country, and the world a better place. So proclaimed on October 25th, 2022. The next item is the adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Nicholson. If there are any objections, hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Next item is approve the minutes of the previous meeting. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the meeting of October 11th and October 13th, 2022?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of October 11th, 2022 and October 13th, 2022.
I'll second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Luby. Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is the City Manager's Report. I'll turn it over to the City Manager, Assistant City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. Assistant City Manager Bill Homka here, and we have Interim City Manager Chris Laddick is on the line. The manager report has 9 items on it. I won't go through all of them. I will point out that the bottom 3 are some large projects that we continue to work on: Captain's Bay Road, Trident, and having trilateral meetings. And you can see some of the discussion on that is about what our priorities will be for your trip when you go to Washington, D.C. And with that, I will turn it over to Chris if he has any comments or additions.
Yeah, no, I have no further comments other than when I get to Alaska this next week, I'll be working on those federal priorities, sort of paring them down and working with our lobbyists to get ready for a workshop with the city council on them before we go to Washington, D.C. Thank you.
Any questions for the city manager on this report? That's it. All right, thanks. Next item is community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone will get 3 minutes.
Hi, Mayor and Council. Roger Blakely, PCR Director. I just wanted to let everybody know this Friday, and this is important, Friday, we're going to have our Halloween event from 5:30 to 7:30. It won't be on Monday, it'll be on Friday. We look forward to having all the children come, play games. We're also going to have a trunk or treat. It says in the community back parking lot, but I don't think weather's going to allow that. So we'll have some more information of where that's going to be and here in the next little while. Now, on December 3rd, we're going to have a holiday celebration and bazaar. And registration, if you want to be a vendor for that event, will be on November 1st is when that's going to be open. So we encourage you to come if you're a vendor on November 1st and get your booth set up or get it registered. And then the holiday celebration and bazaar will be on December 3rd. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else with community announcements of interest to the community?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to speak up on behalf of the community swim meet that we had last Friday. I know a lot of you were in a meeting and you weren't able to come, so I'll let you out of that relay you all signed up for. But it was wall-to-wall people. I think we had about 200 people there. PCR staff did an incredible job manning the pool and getting everyone ready. The little kids had a swim meet in between it. It was probably the best community meet that I've been to in the 6 years that I've been here. So it was a lot of fun. I know you guys missed out, but you can come to the next one.
Okay, anyone else? Thanks, Bill. Anyone else? No?
I do, Mayor.
Oh, go ahead.
So the state midterm election is November 8th, but we have early and absentee voting through November 7th in the clerk's office at City Hall. So you'd like to vote early or absentee. It's during Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Make sure you bring your ID. There's a little additional paperwork to do, but if you're going to be gone, come and vote. And then if you want to vote by email or regular mail, that's handled through the state elections office, so you'll have to contact them directly. You can go to elections.alaska.gov or call them at 877-375-6508. Lastly, Election Day is Tuesday, November 8th. In-person voting here in this room from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. And I just like to remind voters to bring their ID in case we don't know you. So November 8th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. My second announcement is somewhat related to that. November 8th is the second Tuesday in November, and normally that would be a city council meeting day. But we can't have two things in this room at the same time. So we are going to move the regularly scheduled November 8th meeting to Thursday, November 10th. Just 2 days later, but we'll have our regular meeting on Thursday, November 10th. And so whenever you guys are making the motions later in the agenda to adopt those ordinances, to introduce those ordinances and set them for public hearing, if you could use the date of November 10th for that, would be great. Thank you. And I do have one person on Zoom, Mr. Mayor, that would like to make an announcement. It's Frank Kelty. So Frank, once you unmute, you can go right ahead.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and City Council. For the record, my name is Frank Felty. I'm have an announcement that has to do with the Lucian Air. Lucian Airways, our inaugural flight, as many of you already know, is on November 16th. I wanted to invite the community to come out to the airport. Their inaugural flight is leaving Anchorage between 7 and 7:30, and hopefully we'll be, depending on weather, be here around 9, 9:30. And we're going to be on the ground for an hour. We're bringing out some VIPs along with paying customers. And I think we're going to have some refreshments and things like that at the airport for an hour. And the president of the corporation will say a few words and also the general manager. So we invite the city of Unalaska to come out to the airport on Thursday, November 16th, around 9 in the morning, 9:30. And we'll be on the ground for an hour before they head back to Anchorage. And I also got invited to come on the flight, but I have to turn around and get back on the plane and leave again because Fish Expo starts the next morning in Seattle. So I have to attend that, man the booth for Aleutian Airways at Fish Expo. I won't be able to visit too long. Anyway, hope everybody can come out and stop by. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Most two or three of us will be out of town. We'll be in on our way to Seattle on the 16th. So glad you're making it out. Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I'll be out of town then too, unfortunately.
Well, we'll leave it up to the remaining three or four that are here to go out and welcome them into town. All right, thanks, Frank. All right, next item is the community input and announcements. No, we did that one. Anyone on the phone other than Frank?
No, sir.
Okay. Next item is a public comment on agenda items. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda if they don't want to wait until the item comes up for regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone gets 3 minutes. Does anyone wish to speak on the agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move on to any on Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay. Next up is the work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into work session, please?
Make a motion to go into the work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Robinson. If there's any objections, hearing no objections, we are in a work session. That, what is it, 6:18? Discuss a request from the crab boat owners for relief from the mortgage fees on the Carl Moses Harbor. I had received a couple of phone calls from boat owners shortly after returning from the North Pacific Council meeting. Many of them are concerned about, of course, the loss of the crabbing season. And that's going to affect their ability to make any payments. So I asked the city manager and apparently talked to Harbor Master on some questions I had. Was one was the costs that we're looking at, if there is any kind of relief for mortgage at the Carly Moses Boat Harbor, to have that discussion. Thanks.
We'll ask Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin to address some of those questions and provide some information that you need.
I don't think that this is going to be a discussion that we're going to be able to completely resolve tonight, because I think there's a lot of unanswered questions for me to be able to dig into this properly. But just to kind of give you a broad brush of what we're looking at, today we have roughly, I want to say it's 42 permanent slip owners at the Carly Bose's Boat Harbor. We estimate about half a dozen of those are boats that are affected by the crab reduction or elimination. I think when we're looking at this, we got to remember that there's a couple of questions that I'm going to need answered before I can give you any kind of framework of what that might actually look like. So, you know, what would be council's direction in terms of, you know, who that relief would apply to, so that we could actually start looking at what numbers look like. Generally speaking, our budget is, our labor budget sits for that particular facility, the labor budget sits about $192,000. Our operating is about $695,000. We've budgeted for revenues of just a little over $1 million, but our depreciation is about $800,000 on an annual basis. So we are only covering 30% of the depreciation and covering all of the operating costs, all the labor costs, and about 30% of the depreciation costs when it comes to the operation of that facility. So just keep that in mind. I know that there's been some discussion about, you know, where these vessels would go. We've done a little bit of looking at what some of the other harbors look like. We took a look at what King Cove was offering. They, on a daily rate, they're more expensive than we are. On an annual rate, there's a significant savings for boat owners. There's a little bit of savings. Well, there's a significant savings in the utility piece of it, but they don't have the same services and the same support services that we offer here. While they have like a crab pot yard that goes with the mooring piece of that, that's all private industry here. So those are the kind of pieces that's hard for me to put an actual number to, and how that would impact not just the harbor and what we're trying to do with revenues, but what that means to other businesses. A couple of questions that would help me to understand what we're trying to dial into would just be kind of the desired outcome. So how many vessels are we looking at accommodating? Kind of what's the threshold for council in terms of our goals for being self-sustaining? And how does that apply down the road for future changes in the fisheries? So those are just some of those kind of things we want to look at before we, you know, dive deep into an analysis. And we will want to understand the full impact of what that means to revenues and operating costs. We've also got future projects. We're working on doing a study right now for demand. We have a waiting list for CEM. And so we're looking at phase two, which would be the expansion and more float design for that down the road. It's probably, you know, that's not a quick process. We learned with LSA, right? But that's in the works. So those are the kind of things we need to be looking at if we're going to be not sticking to, you know, kind of the desired revenue supporting the operations piece of things. And then the last thing for me is I just want to make sure that we're, whatever we do here, we're lining up with our own code, and we're not showing favoritism. We're not undermining our obligations to be self-sustaining, as example. So just briefly, those are just kind of the general pieces that I shook out. I was out of pocket last week a little bit, so I kind of took a dive into this yesterday and today, and just kind of scratched the surface. But those are the questions I have, kind of broad and round numbers for you to chew on.
Okay, I think that they just want to know if they're going to have any kind of relief. We got a letter or email from Frank Kelty that our letter sent to the governor was already been acted on by the governor. And now it's going to Secretary of Commerce for full funding of $825 million or something like that. These are the people that we're trying to help. Maybe they will get the relief faster than Kodiak did. I mean, Kodiak took over 5 years. I don't think they still got, you know, their money out of their disaster funds either. So we're looking at a three-year period maybe, you know, and it's going to be hard on crews because, you know, if the crab does come back in 2 to 3 years or 4 years, whatever they're looking at, we'll have a bunch of young, inexperienced fishermen going out. And those that have been out there for years, you know, are going to move on to other jobs or not even go back fishing. That's my concern, and I think along with that is try to save the industry fishing fleet. I know King Cove, you mentioned that they're more on a daily rate, but they're cheaper on a yearly rate. Any questions? Councilman Robinson?
So the only crab boats that made any money this year were crab boats that get filmed on the Deadliest Catch. They make money regardless. The quotas on some of them are insignificant. It's just extra. So I would probably be a little adverse to funding or cutting a rate for those type boats that and look more at the strictly crab vessels. It's a pretty gray area because some of those vessels double as crab and trawl. So it could get confusing. And then a question for Port Director is, are there any crab boats that use the spit dock for moorage on an annual basis?
I don't know if so much on an annual basis. We do have crab boats that use the spit dock, but I don't know that they're locked. There's nobody really locked into an annual piece on the spit dock.
Right. So that would be my concern. I mean, from what you say, you have roughly six crab boats over there at the CEM, and I don't think it would take. I mean, I would like to give the ones that deserve the relief the relief. But my feeling is I don't think the Deadliest Catch vessels are deserving of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. We're just talking here, but getting more information, and maybe we can hear back from you on the next.
It would be helpful for me if you dialed into the specifics of what we're looking at. I can give you all kinds of numbers, but I'm guessing if I don't have some kind of framework of what you specifically want, are we going to give relief to those that are transient vessels? I mean, the six that I mentioned here tonight are ones that have been annual moorage at CEM since the day it opened. So that to me was like the obvious like go-to, but to have some kind of framework to look into and to actually provide a true analysis of what that would look like in terms of cost and reduction of, you know, the utility pieces actually far outweigh the cost of their moorage, to be honest with you. And so it's just those kind of pieces. I don't have enough details of what we're trying to accomplish for me to be able to provide you a comprehensive look of the finances.
Okay, I'll just leave it at that. Then maybe I would ask the council if they have any specific questions, then maybe recommendations or none at all, then at least we've brought it up because it was requested to at least find out what the demeanor of the council is to the industry. Councilman Luby and then Robinson.
So I'm sure that a lot of these boats are doing multiple things, and yes, the crab is a huge, you know, loss of income to them. Are they actually tied up and not going to fish at all? Or, I mean, there's some of them that are doing cod to supplement that income, possibly.
There are crossovers with some of them for sure. The six that I mentioned are the ones that we could identify just quite easily that were purely crab boats.
And they're not switching over to
no, I haven't asked those questions, but that's not historically their role. And so getting those quotas and those things, I don't know how that all works in a pinch, but those six vessels, of course, they are on annual moorage. Some of them, they're due November 1st, and some of them are not due to re-up until January.
Okay. My only concern would be kind of like you mentioned is, you know, where do you draw the line if you start going down this road? And, you know, there's been cuts in the pollock. And, you know, if that continues or if there's anything that happens to that pollock fishery, you know, what are we going to do there? So there are implications if you go down this road. And, And I agree that they're hurting. And, you know, they probably do need some support. And if there was other ways to support them, I think that would be probably a better way to go, just because of where it could go in the future. So, anyway.
Councilman Robinson.
Yes. So, yeah, you touched on something that was, we're hurting too, and we're going to be hurting. So, without the revenues from the crab, is going to have an effect on us. We will all feel it. But I'd like to see a scenario where if we can give them maybe a 20% cut in their moorage and then see if we can figure that out, the same thing for the utility portion of them, and step it for for 30% or 40%, and see what those numbers would be and how they'll affect us. And then I don't know that we can do it for the utilities, but it'd be kind of difficult. Another option may be that we not require them to pay. I mean, they'll owe us in the end, but not have to pay the mortgage, but they're going to stay there. That might be difficult also, but I don't know what the park director's thoughts are on that.
Again, it's like to really understand the full impact of what that means to our revenue source, remembering that the council just voted in a 5.8% increase based on inflation and our cost of doing business at CEM. Every dime counts because we are not running at a margin of huge profit here. We are covering our operating costs and a little bit of our depreciation. We, the city, consider depreciation on a cash basis. So technically, we're running at a deficit. And so it is concerning to me. I can look at these six boats and we can take those six boats as our number, but that may not be all inclusive in what the council has in mind in terms of how they want to manage these boats that have lost out on this, on the crab. So I'm happy to run numbers every which way but sideways. That's not a problem. It's a matter of plugging things into a spreadsheet, but I really do need to understand kind of your general thresholds of how much is too much, how much is not enough. I can give you percentages and increases and all the rest of it, but just know we are already technically operating at a deficit.
Okay, thank you.
Run another letter to the governor, try to spur him to get on this right away.
Councilman Bell.
It sounds like anything that Porch does as far as developing a process is going to have a lot of gray area, and will be at, you know, the discretion of the Harbor Department.
The administration of it is a little bit concerning without having some clear parameters, because you don't want to be in a position where you're being unfair to your customer base.
As a stopgap, and the thought was that is allowing an extended amount of time to pay those mortgage fees with some kind of, I don't necessarily say guarantee, I'm trying to think of the word, but some, you know, discussion with those affected that, you know, we're not going to evict you in any short period of time. I think you understand where I'm trying to go here. It's just not evicting people because then they can't pay for that mortgage right now because of the impact of the loss of crab, or giving an extended period of time to pay those mortgage fees.
Okay. What I'm hearing here, and I'll try to keep this in the bounds of what we already operate in within code, but you're wanting to look at kind of like a sliding scale of what various discounts would look like. You're wanting to look at options for delayed payment. And we can take a look at the annual kind of utility draw. And I probably, just so we're clear, we're going to talk about these six boats for now, and we can kind of make some assumptions if we determine that that is a broader base.
Okay, well, thank you. Maybe I'll combine. If there's any council members that have recommendations, I'll have them call you. They can talk it out.
Or drop any email, just making sure it goes through Margie.
Okay.
So everybody's
above board. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Next item, 14. 13B. Discuss ordinances 2022-19 and 2022-20 proposed wages increase and longevity bonus for unrepresented employees, increase of moving allowance and latitude to hire above midpoint to aid recruitment, and related budget amendments to fund wage increase and longevity bonus. I'll turn this over to city manager to introduce it.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. We have been promising to get this to you for some time. It's now before you, and it's quite a puzzle that has been created over the years by the stair-stepping, I would call it, of union negotiations, where one thing is approved for one union, the next union comes up for negotiations, and you have to give what you've given to that union, and then et cetera, Title III, on and on. And it appears to me, and I could be wrong, that here before there has been a whole lot of data used to set a benchmark of what's happening in the state. And of course, we all know that the cost of living is gone through the roof. Other factors such as, but not limited to, the airfare, which has gone up, but now hopefully it's coming down somewhat. We know it's expensive to live in Alaska. Housing is expensive to live in Alaska. My charge is trying to figure out how to put some sanity into the process. So what I've tried to do with Title III, closing a 10% increase for this year, which is similar to what 302 got, longevity bonus similar to what they got. We're proposing more money for the moving expense and hiring at the midpoint, holding off on creating a wage scale so we can hire a consultant who will be able to compare apples to apples with our positions, because JR did a lot of background work, but he used what's called pay scale, it's a database, to compare like public works director for the city of Unalaska to the public works director for the city of Anchorage, the city of Fairbanks, Bethel, etc. Well, a professional will do a little bit more digging and try to do give you advice on what the true number or what the number should be. And there's decisions for the city council to make as well in the process that I think where JR made on his own, but alluded to wanting to make our wage scale the 25th percentile for the database for the state. That is a council decision, and such questions that you want to try to compete with lower 48, in many positions, that's where we're drawing from, et cetera. So there's a whole host of questions for the city council to address. And in the meantime, I'm trying to do the right thing for Title III employees, which would be a 10% increase in the longevity, et cetera. So I'll stop there and see what questions I have.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Any comments or questions from the council? Councilman Robinson?
I think this is long overdue. We haven't done a study for Title III in a lot of years, and we need to do that. And I think this would be good for them. Whatever that study turns up, the council has the ability to from there make it retroactive to cover ones that may not have gotten a significant increase or not. The longevity bonus in there, I think, is critical. We need to do that, and I'm going to support moving forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson.
I might add, Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'm going to add one more thing.
Go ahead.
Where I wanted to start this whole process, I asked the finance department for and just recently received, what's the history? What is the history on the increases for all of the unions and the Title III? So I just got a draft of that just the other day. I'm going over it, and I hope to get it out to the city council by middle of next week. I'm going to need Kelly Thompson back here because there's a lot of spreadsheets that need to be looked at, et cetera. So place to start is, you know, what has happened, and then go from there, as well as hire this consultant. So as soon as I get that information, I will share it with you. It will show you in percentages what each group and each position has done in increases over the last 10 years. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Chris. Any further questions, Councilman Newby and Bell?
So I think that longevity is very, very important. The one on the other contracts that we did, I kind of didn't think that came to be longevity. That kind of became wages, and that was just something that I ended up accepting in the negotiations and agreed with the contract. But I feel like in order to retain people and the amount of money that we put into training, especially the directors, who are the key people of the city, really, and they're the ones that keep the city running with their staff. And I feel like that the longevity should be maybe modified a little bit to what you have. I really liked what you did with the extending it out until, sorry, I'm just looking at a little spreadsheet that I did for myself, but I liked how you did prolong it out to 10 years there. But then after that, on the 11th year, it just becomes wages again, just like everybody else. I would personally like to see it where it is stair-stepped more, and at maybe at five-year increments, and maybe have a difference between the executive employees and the non-executive employees. I kind of just put it together here. Where it's pretty much the same as what you had in dollar amount over years for non-executive employees, where they would, at 5 years, get $5,000. At 10 years, they would get a $10,000 bonus. At 15, a $10,000 bonus. Every year after that, at 5 years, it's basically $10,000. That is something that would probably encourage somebody, if they were a year or two into that, to say, oh, I could hold out for a couple more years because there's this bonus. That's the non-executive ones that I kind of came up with. And for the executive employees, I thought it should be a little bit different, where they earned $1,000 for every year of service. And so what that would mean, at 5 years, they would get $5,000. At 10 years, they would get a $10,000 bonus. At 15 years, it would be a $15,000 bonus, and so on. And so if someone was here 40 years, they would end up with a $40,000 bonus. Now, that's an incentive to me to stick around. And all the money that the city puts into training and the knowledge these people have, that I think that we're having a tough time filling these positions. We're having people leave because the cost of living is high here. And not everybody likes to live in Unalaska. I mean, it's remote, and a lot of people don't like that remoteness, and it's hard to get out of here, even if you could afford to get out of here. It's hard because of the weather, and you can't always leave. And so those are things that people take into account when they do live here. And the one thing that attracted people here, you know, this town kind of boomed in the 90s, and a lot of it had to do with you could come here and you could make a decent living, you could save money, you weren't living paycheck to paycheck. And so those things are important to get people to live here. And so to me, I think a longevity bonus should actually be a longevity bonus. And so I don't know how the rest of the council members feel about that, but that was just my thoughts on it.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I put a lot of thought into this, and I was a little disappointed with what was put in the packet, because what was put into the packet does not have a lot of information to make a decision on. There's no process or justification in there for why 10% or the longevity or any of the other things that are in there. That being said, I'll start with the longevity bonus. The way it's structured in there, I like the way that is set up in there. And really, the longevity bonus that was done for 302, one of the reasons why I voted no on those was because of how that was structured. And I like the way this is structured better. I think it actually becomes an actual bonus or an actual incentive for over time. What else in there? 10%. A 10% increase. I'm not opposed to the 10% increase, but what I don't have the information, and what I am hesitant on is when you have 302, the 10% in the first year, the wage scale also increased. So it was 10% of an increased wage scale, from what I understand. But I don't have that information as part of the council packet to be sure of that, and to use that as a comparison. So if we give just a 10% here without raising the pay matrix or the wage scale, then it's 10% of what is current. And it isn't necessarily an apples to apples comparison, or, you know, equal across the board. I think there needs to be a lot more discussion. And I personally think it's more of a discussion than we could have in one council meeting. And I would not be opposed to having a work session just to discuss Title III. And yeah, I'll leave it at that and listen to what the rest of the councilors have to say.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bill.
Mr. Mayor?
Yep. Go ahead, Chris, and then.
Yeah, just for clarity, the 302 is not just at the first year, 10% plus 3%, and then it's 3 and 2, so it's actually 13, 6, and 5. And what the Title III has already gotten a 3% increase, and this is on top of that. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am in agreement with longevity bonus. I think that is something that will entice employees to stick around and, you know, put in many years and retire with the city. And the pay increases, I am in agreement with that. But listening to Councilman Bell, I'm the more information we can get on this and more work sessions, I think that this is something that would be very good for this to dive deeper into it to make the proper decisions. But I'm in full support of this ordinance. Thank you.
Would council, you know, the city manager talked about the and they're getting a study that's on this the whole issue before we have a work session or after? Councilman Robinson?
So, right, the 2019 is dealing with the longevity bonus. 2020 on the resolution, that's adjusting or looking at the wage scale. Now, we don't just go and throw out a wage scale. We need to do a study on that and come up with some justifiable numbers that we are, because we are spending the public's money on this. They need to be justified, and then you need to study them. That's where we get the numbers of what that increase is going to be. And we don't just go throw an increase out there and then say a 10% on top of that. That's backwards. So I'm going to support both of these, and I would like to see it go out for and do that study on the wages and fringe benefits, and also move forward with the longevity bonus and give them a 10% raise. They deserve it, and not drag this out any further. You know, into the year, because most of the council is not going to be here for a good portion of the next month and a month and a half. So there won't be any meetings. And to drag this out is just not fair to Title III employees.
Councilman Bell?
And I'll partially agree with Councilman Robinson there about doing something now. What my concern is here is a lot of the Title III employees saw the increases that were given to 302 employees. And some of those increases are incredibly large. And as an organization, it puts the pay between different employees, even though they're in different, you know, CBAs and unrepresented groups here, way out of whack. And if we move forward with these two ordinances, I think what needs to be conveyed is some assurance that once these ordinances are passed, that a compensation study and future increases don't get put on the shelf or put on the back burner to happen 6 months down the road. I think this needs to, if we're going to go this route, that this needs to be a continuous process with a time frame, so that these unrepresented employees have some assurance that this is going to happen. When we look at the history of what's been done as far as increases for Title III, there's big gaps, 6-7 year gaps, multiple times over the last couple decades, where nothing's been adjusted other than the merit raises or the merit increases. And it's part of the reason why these wages have gotten so far behind. The second part of the second ordinance here that talks about being able to hire above the midpoint, if our wages were competitive, we wouldn't need that. When we start hiring above the midpoint, you start bringing in, you get a discrepancy in wages between different employees. You know, someone brought up to me that, you know, at this point, it would be better off to quit their job, come back, and since it's so difficult to hire people, is they would come back, get a higher wage for being rehired, and be better off in the long run, just because the wages have gotten that far out of whack. But there needs to be some kind of timeline that this is done, that this is completed expeditiously. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, the study that you're proposing, would that show that difference, the concern of Councilman Bell and regarding the gap and how that's how we're trying to bridge that gap?
Yeah, so what you're trying to do is get parity for like positions in the city. What they're saying is like a certain position, maybe in public works, is getting raises because someone was at the negotiating table and negotiated that. And so that gets things out of whack with the rest.
Okay, thank you.
So yes, that would take that into account.
Do we have any further questions on 2218 and 2220 ordinances? Okay. All right. Does City Clerk, or there were any written comments submitted, or anyone on Zoom or phone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll request a motion and a second to return to regular session.
Move to return to the regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and second by Councilman Nicholson. If there's any objections, hearing no objection, we're back into regular session at 6:56. Next is a consent agenda, which there is just one item. Absent a request from the council to move it to a regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. Resolution 2022-41, supporting full funding for the State of Alaska Municipal Harbor Facility Grant Program in the fiscal year of 2024 state capital budget in the amount of $8,236,815. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
I move to adopt the consent agenda.
Moved by Councilman Robinson.
Second.
Second by Councilman Nicholson. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman? She holds up her yes placard. And Mr. Tungle?
Yes. Did you call me, Marge?
Yes, I did. I have your yes vote. Thank you.
Breaking out. Yeah.
On a roll call vote of 6-0 in favor of the resolution 2022, it has been approved. The next item right now on the regular agenda, persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda item must sign up with the city clerk. Our 3-minute time limit. First item A is ordinance 2022-19, amending Title III personnel to add a longevity bonus, make executives eligible for the longevity bonus, provide latitude to the city manager to hire above the midpoint of the wage range, and to increase the moving expenses available for new employees. May I have a motion and a second to introduce ordinance 2022-19 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on November 10th, 2022?
Make a motion to introduce ordinance 2022-19 and schedule for public hearing and second reading on November 10th.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the city manager.
Yeah, yes, Mr. Mayor and Council, these are this item and the subsequent one, 2022-20, are both ordinances that we were just discussing in our work session, having to do with 2022-19 is obviously dealing with personnel, longevity bonus, and hiring above the midpoint.
Do we have any questions or comments from the council? Discussion? Councilman Bell?
Light's green. There we go. It's giving me the light. At this point, I will support this simply, simply to move it forward. I'm losing my voice too. It must be contagious here. I will support this to move it forward so that it's making a positive advancement.
I don't necessarily agree with this, and there's definitely not enough information has been presented to me to make a informed decision. And I will use these next 2 weeks before, or the period before the next meeting, to get more information. And I would still support a work session in the interim. But I will support it just to move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby?
Yeah, for right now, yes, I'll support it to move it forward. I would also like to see a work session before the next meeting so that we could have a little more discussion. I would also like to see a little more of the, I'd like to see the full, like the burden rate. What do employees cost? That's one thing that's always been missing from all of these discussions is, you know, what's the total cost of an employee, which would include all benefits, and, you know, based on the wage scale, because that's something that's always missing, and that's important. And I also will use the next 2 weeks to answer a few more questions as well, and talk about maybe a difference in the longevity with everybody. So, but I'll support it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Robinson.
Yes, I support this. Moving forward, I don't think I'm in necessarily in favor of having a work session on this, but I would like to entertain the idea of Councilmember Luby and her proposed longevity. It does make it more long, you know, makes it a longevity bonus. So it's a rewarding every 5 years instead of, you know, getting the year 11 and or 10 and then just bang, 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 bang. You know, they just get little pieces of it. But I would support if an amendment was made prior to the next meeting. I think I would support that, and I'd even support that right now. So to make that amendment, so it's not significantly changing the outcome of the ordinance come November 10th.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Luby?
I actually have an amendment already for that, just in case. And let me just pull it up here. So I would like to make an amendment to Ordinance 2022-19. Under Section 2, I'd like to add, or change A. It's going to change the letters, which I'll give this all to you, Margie, because it's all, I have it all here for you that I can give to you. But A would read, regular full-time executive employees shall be paid a longevity bonus of $1,000 per consecutive year of service starting at year 3, then year 5, and year 5 every or thereafter. And then B would replace A, and all the wording would be the same as what you have now under A, except for it would say regular non-executive full-time employees. And then that would follow what you have now. I made a change to make it $5,000 at year 5 to make it 5, but... And then on number 4, I'm not following myself very good here, but okay, so number 2 would change to say on the employee's 5-year employment anniversary, it would change from $4,000 to $5,000. On the employee's 15-year, it would replace 11 to say 15-year. employment anniversary of each subsequent five-year employment anniversary thereafter would be $10,000. And that actually extends everything out to everybody getting it at five-year intervals, non-executive and executive employees. And I'll include this little spreadsheet so that you can see this, so that makes it easier to rewrite this if everybody's in favor of this. And you can look at it even now if you would like. And then all the letters would change. So B would become C, C would become D, D would become E, and E would become F. And that would be my first, that would be my first amendment.
I'll second that.
Been moved by Councilman Luby and seconded by Councilman Robinson to amend section, is that section two you said? On two, three?
Section two, yes.
Councilman Coleman?
Okay, I'm going to try this. So basically, an employee will bank $1,000 every year until their anniversary is every 5 years. Is that basically what you're saying? Is that, like, for the first 5 years, they don't get paid out $1,000, but at 5 years, they get $5,000. And then every year after that, they're banking $1,000, and at 10 years, they're getting $10,000, et cetera. Is that what yours is that the basis of it?
Yeah, so if you're an executive employee, the basis of that would be that every year of service, you would get $1,000. And it would start at the 3 year, actually, and you would get $3,000 at the 3 year. And then at 5 year, you would get $5,000 bonus. At your 10 year, you would get a $10,000 bonus. At your 15 year, you would get a $15,000 bonus, because you're getting $1,000 for every year of service. So if you got out of high school at 20 and you worked for 40 years and you're 60 years old, about to retire, you're gonna get a $40,000 bonus at the end to try to keep you here to retire. And this is for executive. This is not the non-executive. So non-executive would basically follow what they have now in this, except for at 3 years, they would get $2,000. At 5 years, they would get $5,000. At 10 years and every 5 years after, they would get a $10,000 bonus. And there wouldn't be $2,000 per year. It would be just $10,000 bonus every year starting at the 10-year mark.
Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'll just make a comment in here. I like the way the direction this is going, but I don't know that I can support this amendment without having some information as far as what the impact financially would be. And without having a discussion on a long-term goal as far as longevity bonuses, we're getting to a point here where we're going to have several different CBAs that have different longevity bonuses. We're going to have unrepresented employees and executive employees that have different longevity bonuses. And I think as an organization, there should be a goal, at least in my mind, to work towards something that is a little more common between the entire employee pool of the City of Unalaska. So at this point, I think I will not support the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby?
Yeah, and so my goal in this is to eventually, when we come back around to contracts, is to maybe try to create parity with this. And this is kind of my start, is right here. And then I know it's 3 years down the road before contracts happen again, but or the 302 anyway, but is maybe to try to
my goal would be to try to work towards that for everybody, so that everybody is pretty much equal, whether you're represented or non-represented.
Councilman Robinson?
Yeah, I think this is a start, and by the time this comes around on November 10th, we will have the information that Mr. Bell is looking for. But, you know, with my concern was, like I said, when we're doing an ordinance, and on second reading, if it is a significant change, we can't do that. So this I think sets the tone, and then if we get some information back on the 10th, that or prior to the 10th meeting, that it might be a little too costly, then we have the ability to scale back. But this would be, like I said, this is a good start, and I will support it.
Okay, thank you. And the city clerk has passed out changes to, or the amendment to Resolution 2020-219. Councilman Nicholson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also would be in support with this as long as we move forward to level the playing field with all entities involved and stuff in the near future. So, yeah, I'm in favor of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Coleman?
I guess I'm going to side on a more conservative end, without knowing the direct financial implications of a new proposal. I would have to still, I would probably vote against this one at this point, though I'm not opposed to it being discussed further and showing how that would compare to what was presented currently.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. We'll have a roll call. Huh? Tungo? Councilman Tungo? You're still with us?
Hi, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Yeah, I'll be in full support of this amendment, too.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Rolled right over you there, Paul. Go. Need a roll call on the amendment without any further discussion? Are there any? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Ms. Coleman? No. Held up her no placard. Mr. Bell?
No.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
And Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yes and 1 no.
Excuse me, that was 4 yes and 2 no.
What? Oh, yeah, 2 no's? Sorry, I only heard 1. Sorry. 4-2. Pass the amendment. Now to the main motion. Any further discussion? Councilman Bell?
I'll just make a quick comment and reiterate this, that I will support this to move it forward. But the allowing the city manager to hire above the midpoint range, part of this ordinance, I at this point, and moving forward to a second reading, it will not support this if that is in there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comment, discussion? Hearing none. I'll call for a roll call on the main motion. Oh, Councilman Luby.
So, yeah, I also had some concerns about the hiring wage rate and hiring above the midpoint range as well. Sorry, I'm just reading my notes here. So I guess I didn't make notes really about the midpoint range. It was number 3 of the hiring wage rate. I made a note there that I thought written approval of the hiring wage rate shall be made by the city manager and approved by council before appointment. And this kind of goes, I guess, let's see, So I'm thinking that the written approval, number 3, written approval of the hiring wage rate shall be made by the city manager and approved by council before appointment of all appointments above midpoint of the wage range. Basically, that's allowing, I guess, still to go above midpoint if you would like, but it can't be subjective to just the city manager. I feel like that it should at least come to council for approval. We just want to make sure that everything's being done correctly and that there's no, I guess we just want to make sure that what's the reason for going above midpoint? You know, is there justification? Is it because we haven't had anybody apply for this job for, you know, 3 years, 4 years? You know, what is the justification for it? And I believe that that should come to council. And so if council's in support of that, I am ready to make amendment on that one as well.
Councilman Robinson.
I don't want to step in. Have the council step in to the city manager's role in approving wage scales. We set that in ordinance, and the city manager lives by that. We do it through budget amendments and that, but I will not support having council approval on wage scale. One of the reasons that we do have the midpoint wage scale deal, hiring there, is sometimes a city employee is at the top of their scale within the city and they want to take on another job, okay, that could advance them even further, and they're highly qualified for the job. We've lost city employees because we couldn't hire them. We had to hire them at a lower rate. So I think that reason alone, we should trust our city manager to hire and be able to retain people that are willing to do that. So that's the reason, the whole reason for being able to hire above the midpoint. And it's not that it'll happen every time. I think it needs to be in there because it gives people the opportunity to increase and take on more responsibility and earn more money, especially when they've reached the top of their wage scale.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, my comments are along the same lines. I don't necessarily agree that council should get too deep into any hiring decisions that are outside of our single employee, the city manager. It just sounds like it's something that would get messy. My whole reason for, you know, not agreeing with this section of it is it's a stopgap measure. It's a stopgap measure to allow, apparently it'll allow time or to, in the interim of getting the wage scale to where it needs to be, being able to hire above the midpoint. If we fix the pay matrix to where we have competitive wages, we shouldn't necessarily be hiring above the midpoint. In all my years and all the hiring I've done personally, I usually hire below what someone's asking because it's way easier to raise someone up. And a lot of times you'll find that, at least in some fields, when you're hiring someone, they may not be at the skill level that they're advertised at. And so it's, you know, at least been my personal rule that I don't hire above a certain point. And hiring above the midpoint, I think, has shown, at least here, that when the wages are too low, that it skews the wages among the whole organization and just creates problems. So that's my justification for not supporting this. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further comment, counsel? All right. Yeah. Trying to figure out, was that amendment? Second amendment? No, it wasn't. It was just a suggestion, discussion? Okay. So that's not on the table. What was it? All right, we're back to the main motion. 2022-19. I have a roll call, please.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
And Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6-0, ordinance 2022-19 as amended has been approved. The next item is ordinance 2022-20, creating budget amendment number 3 to the fiscal year of 2023 budget to fund increases in wages, fringe benefits, and associated State of Alaska PERS contributions for unrepresented employees. May I have a motion and a second to introduce ordinance 2020 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on November 10th, 2022.
I'll make a motion to move or to introduce ordinance 2022-20 to second reading and public hearing on November 10th.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to City Manager.
This is the second in the pair of ordinances that we've been discussing, both in the work session and related to the previous one, but this directly affects the wage increases, and it's scheduled to go for a second hearing on November 10th.
Okay, thank you. Council discussion on this ordinance 2022. Councilman Bell.
I'll start off with a quick question here. In this ordinance change, potential change in ordinance, the moving expenses cap, I don't necessarily disagree with it, but it's I believe we set 302 at $7,000, and this is being proposed at $10,000. Are we prepared moving down the road to increase CBAs to $10,000? And I guess I'll just leave that as an open question.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Anyone else? Council? Discussion? Councilman Robinson?
Yes, I think this is good, I do support this. Moving forward, Title III employees deserve it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Anyone else? City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Okay.
No.
Thanks. I'll restate the motion and preparation for a roll call. Ordinance 2022-20, creating a budget amendment number 3 to fiscal year of 2023 budget and fund increases in wages, fringe benefits, associated State of Alaska PERS contribution for unrepresented employees. Request a roll call vote, please.
Certainly, sir. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Holding up her yes sign. Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
And Mr. Bell?
Yes.
A roll call vote of 6-0 in favor of resolution. Ordinance 2022-20 been approved. And scheduled for public hearing, second reading on November 10th. Next, item C, Resolution 2022-42 in support of the exclusion of a commercial fisheries management from the objectives and a potential establishments of the Heart of the Ocean Marine Sanctuary off the coast of St. Paul, and authorizing the mayor to send Resolution 2022-42 to NOAA with a proposed letter. May I have a motion and second to adopt Resolution 2022-42?
Make a motion to adopt Resolution 2022-42 along with the authorizing the mayor to send that resolution to NOAA with a proposed letter.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the city manager and comments.
Sorry? Okay. So this motion and the issue of creating a sanctuary is of critical importance to our city and other fisheries dependent on communities in the Bering Sea region. And without knowing the proposed location or number of square miles, it seems critically important that we should oppose it at this time. I'd like to make a note that our fishing consultant and former mayor, Mr. Kelty, is on the phone to help answer questions and discuss this issue.
Okay, thank you. I was on the phone this morning with the consulting firm that's been working with the St. Paul tribe on this issue. They've called for a face-to-face with the Kowloon tribe. I don't know when that's going to happen yet, but they've made the request, and also taken the concerns of the community and explain why they're doing what they're doing. But in any case, the whole object of this, from what we know so far, is to get on a roll to be able to enforce a 100-mile limit. That's going to have to be, I don't think it's going to pass, and even the people that are involved don't think it's going to pass with the 100-mile limit that they're requesting. It may be a lot smaller. But in any case, it is a concerning event because of our meetings we had on the North Pacific Council. When they made this Department of Fish and Game made their notice that they're going to close all crabbing except for the eastern Bristol Bay crab, 2.3 million, I believe. It's going to hurt our, us badly, with especially with this coming on. So I believe this letter that was proposed, that's being proposed, was put together by Frank Kelty and the city manager, and also our lobbyists in Washington, D.C. So if there's any questions from council, I'll hear from Frank. Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. I do serve as the president of the Kowloon tribe, and we have also already sent a letter to NOAA requesting a government-to-government consultation on this. From what I understand in talking with some of the people that used to support it but no longer support it, tell me that it's been proposed to NOAA and it'll remain on their books until it's actively pursued to be removed, and it'll remain up to 5 years. And the process for removing it is you've got to get everybody actively trying to get it removed, basically a letter writing campaign, but that doesn't guarantee the removal of it. So I think this is a good step that the city is taking in pulling the management portion of it out of there. And I do know that, myself, from what I know about it, is it is not a good thing for our fisheries and our livelihood in the Aleutian region. And so we will be dealing with that one as it comes up. But I do support this, and I'll vote in favor of it.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Anyone else? We have on. We have somebody on the phone.
Yeah, Mr. Kelty's ready to comment whenever you're ready to hear from him.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, do you hear me?
Hear you, Frank.
Hi. For the record, my name is Frank Kelty, fisheries consultant for the city. Yes, I think this resolution and letter, I would urge the council to support it. I think this is one of the most, I was going to say contentious, but it could be contentious issues that I've seen come up in a while. This would basically get another third party involved in the fisheries management that we have with the National Marine Fisheries Service, State of Alaska, and then we would have a tribal entity potentially in the middle of this. So it could be a whole new management regime, which I don't believe would be in the best interest of Alaska and our industry. I have seen the letters from some of the industry participants. City Manager Laddick told me today that ADF&G also sent a letter in, basically similar to what our letter says, that they want to keep the current management system we have with National Marine Fisheries Service and ADF&G. And so I think that, and I'd just like to give you a quote from the letter of the chairman of the North Pacific Council that he sent to the Pacific Island region, Department of NOAA, which is that has proposed this or pushing this sanctuary. And Mr. Kinnean's last paragraph in his letter said, in sum, a sanctuary that has the potential to create a significant level of new bureaucracy and absent of retaining clear authority North Pacific Council may result in a fracturing of data collection, monitoring, and management in one of the most productive areas of the Bering Sea that may not align with NOAA's goals on climate resistance, and adaptive management. Hence, the council needs to understand the process going forward. It is critical that ONS, MS establish a transparent, deliberate, and public process with many opportunities for public input and a clear role for the North Pacific Council during any part of the ocean designated period and thereafter. I'm the chair of the council. I think everybody is very concerned of what this would bring forward. I know industry members are, I've been on a couple of meetings. I think the fisheries associations are putting letters together. I've seen letters from PSPA, the council has submitted a letter in already, and I think our comments align with what OC and their letter sent in and what the Cowling and Tribe letter said. So I would urge the council to support this. And I think we got to do all we can to try and hold the line on this issue until we have a better understanding of it. We don't have any boundaries. We don't have any square miles. We don't know what their goals are or what they're trying to do. And so we need a lot of information, but we need to protect our current management scheme that we have in place that is one of the best in the nation. I think everybody realizes that. So thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and I'll answer any questions if there is any.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Any questions, comments for Frank? Hearing none? Councilman Robinson?
Yes, I have a comment. Initially, when they were putting this forward, the St. George tribe supported it, as well as the St. Paul City Council. Neither the City of St. Paul and the St. George have rescinded their support for it. So I think what stands out there is St. Paul alone. I think they are the lone group that supports it. So, but like I said, my biggest concern is it's on NOAA's books and we need to get it off of there. Thank you.
Yes, you're correct.
Mr. Mayor, if I can, I have one quick comment.
Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, if the council approves the letter and the resolution, I think on the letter we should have some additional CC. And I would recommend that we get Commissioner Douglas Vincent Lang's name on there, ADF&G, and Senator Hoffman and Representative Edgman. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that objection, will add Doug Vincent and Commissioner of Fish and Game and Senator Hoffman, our senator for our region. What about their representative? Might as well, huh? Edgman? We'll add him on. Okay, thank you. Any further questions or comments? I'll restate the motion in preparation for a roll call vote. Resolution 2022-42 in support of the exclusion of the commercial fishery management from the objectives of potential establishment of the Heart of the Aleutians, the Ocean Marine Sanctuary off the coast of St. Paul Island. And also send a letter to NOAA with our explanation of non-support and removal from their role. I'll have a roll call vote, please.
Certainly, sir. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Unmute.
Councilmember Tungle?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Holding up her yes sign.
The roll call vote of 6-0 in favor of this resolution being brought forward to NOAA. It's been approved. Next item is the AML Annual Local Government Conference, December 7th through the 9th in Anchorage. I have a motion and a second to authorize the mayor and up to 3 council members to travel to AML Local Government Conference.
Make a motion to authorize the mayor and up to 3 council members to attend the AML Government Annual Government Conference in Anchorage.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Bell. And I will add that there has been a suggestion as a cost-saving measure that the same people travel to both AML and Washington, D.C. May I have an amendment to insert names of council members? Councilman Coleman? Your name? Okay. Sorry. Councilman Coleman? Anyone else?
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor and Councilmember Coleman and Deneen. No, and myself to attend. Mr. Tungle, are you interested in attending?
No, I am not. Thank you.
Okay, that'll be my motion for Councilmember Coleman, myself, and the mayor.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Nicholson. Has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
No. There's an amendment on the amendment. Okay, we're going to call a roll call vote on the amendment to insert the names of Councilman Coleman, Councilman Vice Mayor Robinson, and Mayor Dudikoff to travel on the AML Washington, D.C. trips with the, I guess my question, is city manager included in this? No, he just goes anywhere.
He doesn't need council approval to travel, sir.
Okay.
It's already in the city manager's budget.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Roll call on amendment, please.
Certainly. Tungle?
Yes.
Luby? Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Holding up her yes sign. Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
And Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Roll call vote on the amendment to allow traveling for council and the mayor. It's been approved. Now to the main motion. Council made by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Bell, to authorize mayor and up to three council members to travel AML and to the Washington, D.C. trip. We have a roll call vote.
I don't, Mr. Mayor, if I could correct you if I may, I don't believe the motion included the Washington, D.C. travel. It was just AML.
That's correct.
So I guess my question is, how does this D.C. fit? We got to do one separate on the Washington, D.C.? Okay. All right. We're doing just AML, authorization for travel. Roll call, please.
Robinson?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Holding up her yes sign. Nicholson?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
And Luby?
Yes.
And roll call vote of six in favor of the authorization to travel to AML has been approved. I need a council to approve the travel to Washington, D.C. for the Councilman Coleman, Councilman Robinson, and Mayor Tutikoff.
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor and up to three council members to travel to D.C.
I'll second that.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, seconded by Councilman Luby. Discussion? Hearing Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I couldn't make it to AML, but I would like to travel to the D.C. trip since only two people are going to AML.
Mr. Mayor, yes. I'll be traveling to D.C. on the tribe will be, I'll be going there on behalf of the tribe.
And I'll be going on behalf of the city.
I'd like to go.
You'll be going as council for the city. Council, okay. All right.
I'll make a motion to amend the travel authorization to the mayor, Councilmember Luby and Councilmember Coleman.
I'll second.
Yes, go ahead. Any second? Who was it? You? Councilman Luby seconds the amendment. And on the amendment, we've added Councilman Luby, Coleman, and the mayor to travel to Washington, D.C. A roll call vote on that.
On the amendment, sir? Yes, sir. Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Luby?
Yes.
Coleman? Holding up her yes sign. Bell?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call vote 6-0. Authorization for Councilman Luby, Councilman Coleman, and Mayor Tutikoff to travel to Washington, D.C. Now the main motion, authorizing travel to Washington, D.C. for two council member and a mayor. Roll call, please.
Luby?
Yes.
Coleman? Holding up her yes sign. Tungle?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Roll call vote 6-0. The authorization to travel to Washington, D.C. has been approved. Okay. Next item is federal lobbying, December 12th to the 14th. Is that right?
Yeah. We just did that.
Oh. Okay. That's what I said. I was thinking we already did that. All right. Council directives to the city manager. I believe we had one out there to do a study on the project. He's going to recommend, well, he recommended he's going to do it anyway. Okay. I don't know of any others, were there? Okay. Community input and announcements. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. You have a three-minute time limit. Anyone out there?
This is Denise from OC. On behalf of OC, we just want to invite children ages 2 to 15 to stop by, or 1 to 15, I think it is, to stop by the OC office on the afternoon this Friday to pick up a goodie bag. I think it's from 2 to 5. So if you have any children ages 1 through 15, please stop by the OC office.
On December, when? November 15th?
Children ages 1 through 15 to stop by this Friday.
This Friday.
Okay. Get a Halloween goodie bag.
Halloween. Okay, thank you. Any further announcements? Yeah, Councilman Robinson.
So thank you. In my capacity as the tribal president, I have been working tirelessly trying to get our post office situation remedied. So I've been on the phone most of this day. I spent a good amount of that time at AFN chasing the same thing, talking to senators, and hopefully we'll have some kind of a conclusion to this to where we'll have both post offices open. Thank you.
Great. That'd be good. Any further public comments? Hey. Okay, well, thank you, everyone out there. It was for the votes, and appreciate your confidence. I'll do my best to do the job here for you as mayor in this community. Thank you very much. Any written comments or anybody on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, having completed our items on our agenda, we are adjourned at 7:48. We're adjourned. Good night, Unalaska. Is it snowing out there?